What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Born to Thrive. I'll be your host, Alex, and this is the podcast where we help you embrace your power and live the life you're meant to live. Today, we have a phenomenal guest, Miss Sabrina, aka Beefcake, the beefcake in the industry. She has a passion for scientific research, debunking industry myths, and thriving in the realm of business and entrepreneurship. Sabrina is here to drop some knowledge bombs and share some insights into her multifaceted journey. Well, Sabrina, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. I'm excited to have you. And I know, obviously, we're friends, so there's going to be like that dynamic to it, but still.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just abusing the relationships that I have. It's fine.
That's all right. I'm okay with
this. So we won't get too much into your story because if people want to hear it, you've been on other podcasts and things, people can find it. But I am curious, just for the people who don't know, what got you into fitness in the first place?
So to make a very long story short, because this takes over the span of years and years and years, I was overweight as a kid and I was diagnosed with a pre-stages of thyroid cancer. And so with that being said, like I have an enlarged thyroid, I had already some like genetic predispositions as well. And then I remember I was in the doctor's office and he told me, he's like, yeah, if you don't like fix yourself, you're going to be like morbidly obese by the time you're 22, I think it was, or 23. And I'm like, oh, okay. So like as a kid, a preteen, that scared the shit out of me. Then I joined my swim team, but then backtrack a little bit. I was bullied all through grade school just for like my weight, for a lot of like various different things. And then after that doctor's visit and then like that self-reflection as a preteen, I got into the swim team starting in high school, freshman year of high school. And from there, I completely went to the opposite side of the spectrum. So I developed two eating disorders, medically diagnosed binge eating and anorexia nervosa. And then I like got severely underweight. Mm-hmm. And so then I teetered from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, like weight wise. And that didn't help. I was still bullied through all through high school then. And then I remember I wanted to get stronger for swimming. And my dad was like, I'll help you. Like I go to the gym, we can go to the gym together. I was like, okay. So my dad, otherwise known as Beefcake Brad, loved he's the one who got me into the gym. And then on top of that, I just wanted to be better for my sport, but then like I fell in love with it. And so I've been, you know, in many different phases in the, in my lifting journey until now. I'm like I'm 25 now. So I started that at like 17, like lifting 17. Yeah. So that's kind of, that's what got me into lifting.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's where I'm at now. And that's like the storyline made short.
Yeah. So I know you're big on like debunking fitness misinformation. I'm curious, what kind of role do you feel the bullying played in that?
So the bullying is what kind of sparked, I would say, me to like spiral into poor eating habits, spiral into just poor habits in general around like fitness, like my body, just, you know, mental health, et cetera. And so like one of the biggest reasons why I debunk stuff today is so other people don't fall into that. Cause I will say social media was a huge influence aside from people in like grade school or even through college. Social media was definitely like kind of one of the main reasons why I got sucked into such like deep holes. Like I remember I was in high school, the appetite suppressant lolly. I remember this so vividly. Kim K started promoting an appetite suppressant lollipop and it was so disordered. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
I was like 17 at the time and I was like just recovering from my ED. Like I wasn't quite at a healthy weight yet.
Yeah.
And like, I had already been medically diagnosed and I was like, you know, like recovering and still in this kind of like darkish place mentally. Yeah. And I remember seeing that and I'm like it was such an influence. And like, I was so tempted to like buy it. Cause like I had bought pills like Garcinia Cambogia to like suppress my appetite and like detox this and bullshit that and blah, 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 blah. So I fell into that hole and I don't want others to fall into the same hole, which is really the biggest reason why I do what I do on my page. It's for other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I love that. And I know that's something that like we share as like something that we're really passionate about for very similar reasons of like the bullying and the misinformation. I remember like vividly, I tried a juice cleanse once. I didn't know that activated charcoal makes you go to the bathroom.
Yep.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was a diuretic. And so I'm doing this juice cleanse and I went off to class and I had drank my activated charcoal one because it didn't give instructions of when to drink it. And I pooped my pants in freshman year of college. And I was like, this is the worst experience ever. And yes, I like it legitimately happened. Like, right. I was like bolting out of class and I was like, there has to be a better way. Lo and behold, it took another like 4 years for me to actually learn the better ways, but still.
Yeah, of course. I can honestly say, I admit it. I've been there before several times back in my
pooping your pants years. Or
no, just the juice cleansing, of course, and different ones.
You're like, sorry, I can't relate to that one.
No, sorry. There's no connect there.
So I'm curious because obviously like you've debunked so much.
Oh my God.
We'll go with recent. What are some of the more like recent ones that you've kind of like busted?
So recently, not that I've been on this kick, because what prompts me to like bust people is not me going out and actively finding things.
Yeah.
It's followers. Like they tag me and stuff. And sometimes they tag me stuff that I really like and that I will post and like approve and be like, hey, this is great advice. Yeah. And then I really like doing that. But then they'll also post me in like bullshit or tag me in bullshit.
Yeah.
And one big one is just, it's been specific people. Like I'm not going to name names, but like specific influencers that have a track record of doing fraudulent things, illegal things even. And like either they've been called out several times and they want me to speak on it because I have a voice on platform and I'm here to make people aware, or like, you know, I don't know, maybe nobody's called them out before and like, you know,
they're kind of getting away with it.
And I'm not here to like convince those people to stop scamming, because let's be real, like the people who are already scamming, like they're going to keep doing it, especially if I've been called out. I know there's this one guy I called out who is a coach and he was giving a PCOS plan. And
we talked about this.
Yeah, he was prescribing a PCOS meal plan, which is very illegal, by the way, like prescription for a special condition.
Yeah.
And just all this stuff. But like, I wasn't the only one who's called him out.
Yeah.
I was here to make people more aware of the situation, more aware of this coach who was really doing fraudulent practices, but also like the plan just didn't make sense.
Period. The workout plan was insane. Yeah. I was like, who would prescribe this to someone with PCOS, or let alone a person in general?
Yes. Like not even like, let's take away the PCOS. Like it was just a short workout plan, like period. And like people think you could just like throw exercises together.
I know. It was like seven sets of something. I remember that.
Yeah.
I was like,
But it's like a skill set to like create a really good, efficient program that's made for someone. And so people know that like I'm a good coach and whatnot. I'm going to say I'm a great coach. People, thank you. So people know that. So they're like, hey, Brina, like get here, have fun. And I was like, okay.
So,
it's just like, that was like for awareness. But that's what's been happening recently. It's been like, making people aware of like people who have been fraudulent for a while now. The biggest like tangible myth that I feel like I keep having to come back, and I'm going to have to do another video again, is the, you can only absorb 20 grams of protein in a sitting, which makes me want to bang my head against a fucking
wall. I love how you didn't even have to finish your set. The moment you said absorb, I was like, I know where this is going. My gosh. I know. It's funny because I actually just did a podcast with my assistant coach, and we talked about the fact that I usually have like 50 to 55 grams of protein per meal because I'm a meal gal. I just prefer it.
That's
and
fine.
It's the only way I will get enough protein. And I'm like, if I couldn't absorb it, I would have all these issues. So I'm like, it's fine.
Exactly. And like,
that's wild.
Yeah. And like, you know, at that point, all it takes is for me, of course, to call it out or to like talk about it. Referencing the research, like this is what our research says. Here's the thought process behind it. You know, here's all the details. So that's one thing I really love about what I do on TikTok, is not just debunking, but like taking my skill of being able to properly read and analyze research and condensing it down into layman's terms, which honestly, I did not know was a skill until I grew my page and people are like science, actual scientists and like people with
PhDs
and stuff were coming to me and were like, this is good. This is great. Like the fact that you're able to take meta-analyses after meta-analyses, like all of this, and then somehow condense it into 60, 90 seconds, 2 minutes to where like you can explain just enough to the general public to where it's able to be like understood. Tangible. They're like, that's a skill set that like, and some of them were like, that's a skill set I can't do. And I was like, yeah, wow, okay. So like, that's huge. And apparently in the science community, there's a huge disconnect between like, there's not a lot of people who can A, have the skill, but like B, like take the skill and again, condense stuff down into layman's terms so that the general public can understand at the same. So I decided to like own that and then build on it. So
it's, you know, it's definitely a skill because that's something that typically what happens is people get to such a high level that they almost, it's funny. I had that conversation about Andrew Huberman's podcast because I love him. I think his podcast is great. But it's interesting because he advertises it as wanting it to be something where he can teach everybody the science of things. Mm-hmm. But what's fascinating is when you listen to him speak, I think partially because it's such a long form platform, it's still so high level. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love what you're trying to do, but you're so smart and so high level that you don't understand that what you're trying to make more tangible is still very not tangible to a lot of people.
Yeah. I know a lot of scientists in the field and a lot of other kinesiologists who have the same degree as me, or again, they're just so high level that it's hard for them to take terms and then find almost like synonyms and then like the wording for it. Like I even have someone who I'm interning who is also on social media, and she is very smart. Very smart. I love her to death. She goes by the name of Scientific Snitch. It's Ella. Okay. I don't know if you know her on social media. She's great. Okay, that's okay. She's
just like my bad.
And she does what I do, but like she has her own, like she does specific topics that are like different. But like, you know, like some I've noticed that like she's just very high level and has like very like good vocabulary, and like she's goddamn smart. But like there's sometimes where I'm like, Ella, like I can't keep up. You're speaking so fast. And these are of course topics that like I'm not as educated on.
Yeah.
That I go to her for, and we kind of ping pong back and forth different science and ideas. But it's like stuff like that. And she's doing great. Like love her to death. But then there's also like other people in the field again that are so high level that like can't, you know, it's very hard to dumb it down enough. And so then you miss out on attracting an audience that is the general public who needs to know what these terms are and understand that. But I do love everyone that's of all levels.
Yeah.
It's like not me bashing.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all. No, it is a skill. And I think it's so important that there are people out there who can do that. And I think that we're starting to see that more and more, which is great too, because I think that obviously like you can't cover everything. And so it's like people being able to recognize that if I do want to work with general population, I need to be able to speak to them in a thoughtful way. I am curious that for people who are general population, who maybe don't care too much about like reading research, what would you recommend they kind of look out for? Or what are some things that like they could be trying to be at least aware of to maybe try to like sift through the BS out there?
Well, there's a lot, but I'll try to condense it down. One big one is if someone makes a claim without backing it. For example, they say research says XYZ, and then they don't actually cite the research. That's a big red flag, because I will say 9 times out of 10 where I've called those people out, like, I already knew when they said research says XYZ, and I'm like, this claim is false. But like, even if I didn't know that, the fact that I could look up what they said verbatim and find it in a blog and not peer reviewed like studies. Like that's what happens, is they actually get their shit from a blog. And then I'm like, okay,
blog isn't research, people.
Yeah. So, that's a big one. So if someone says research says without citing research, I'm not going to say credentials are everything. Credentials definitely help.
Yeah.
I mean, but I have also met PhDs who like don't know jack shit.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So
yeah,
that's, it's like a double-edged sword there.
Yeah, for sure.
Another one is anyone, whether they're science-based or not, who speaks in absolutes.
Ooh.
Yeah. So don't do this. Never do this.
Yeah.
XYZ. Like they speak in absolutes.
Yeah.
That's kind of another way to tell if they're, yeah, that if they're BS or not. Those are the two big ones, I will say, with the science-based community. Mm-hmm.
I think that's with anything.
Yeah.
Were you giving new examples?
Yeah. Oh, no. That's how I feel about the science. No, it definitely applies to other places.
Oh my gosh. There's some non-science-based fitness people. Well, they claim to be science-based. So maybe that's where they're grabbing these from, but they go for the absolutes all the time. Absolutes have to be the biggest red flag to me. I think that's like such an interesting one that people have just picked up where they're like, yep, it's good food or bad food, or you can never have sugar. That's always my go-to with what I use as an example.
Or this ingredient is toxic because you can't pronounce it in X, Y, Z. The absolute, speaking of absolutes is definitely a big red flag. And everyone who is evidence-based has the ability to understand that nuance exists.
Yeah.
And everything is a spectrum. Let's go back to the, you can only absorb 20 to 30 grams of protein in a sitting. It's false. And then even then, that amount that you can optimally utilize, that's the key word, that is different for everyone based off age, sex, height, weight, lifestyle, lean body mass, so many different factors and variables come into play for all of that. So nuance is very important. I think a lot of people lack that when they make videos online trying to advise the public. Another one is it works for me. I hate that argument. If you make a claim, different things work for different people. I get it.
I'm dead.
To establish. This is
I love that.
In fallacies, in debate, this logical fallacy is called a hasty generalization. So you take your experience, you equate it to every under the freaking sun.
Yeah.
And says this is true. That's an not only is that an absolutist statement, but it's really playing on the, my anecdotal experience is higher than anything else, which is not true. That's why the pyramid of research exists, if you know anything about that pyramid.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find this so funny because I think that's one of the biggest lessons I had as when I was first getting into the nutrition aspect of things. Cause obviously I started out in training and I learned a lot about just strength progressions and powerlifting. And I was focusing a lot of hypertrophy training and everything in that realm. And then I was like, I know so much about strength and conditioning. Right. I know nothing about nutrition. Mm-hmm. And it's the irony of the fact of how people think that as a fitness coach, you then automatically have to be in shape, which I find so interesting because I'm most personal trainers or trainers don't really know that much about nutrition unless they actively seek it. And just because you manage to lose weight for yourself doesn't mean that you know diddly squat about how to help somebody else do it.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's the, in the bodybuilding community specifically, it's people who do one show and then feel their prep other clients, which is, I've been coaching for several years. No way
ever
would I ever feel okay to do that.
No.
It requires so many years of practice and then redoing show after show after show, and then being able to, it's a skill set. And that's I think coaches right off the box, they do one show and they're like, yeah, I'm a qualified
coach. They're like, I have my transformation photo. I'm suddenly a great coach. And it's
Right. Yeah.
And then they give their clients their meal plan that they were on.
I have seen that a little too often firsthand from clients.
Oh, that happened to me.
Oh.
I had a woman who was, she was an Olympian athlete, not Olympian athlete. She was an Olympian competitor. So she competed in the Olympia, which is bodybuilding. It's not the, that sounds messed up, but I'm like, it's not the real Olympics, guys. So it's not the real Olympics. Yeah. And she was a bikini competitor and she was local. My friends knew her. So I was like, cool, it's a recommendation. Literally gave me and all of her clients the exact same protocols for our show. And she was I followed it to a T. I'm so type A. I'm so perfectionist. I followed it to a T. And she was like, you're holding water. Are you sure you're doing what you're telling us? And I'm like, now being educated, I was holding water because I was still doing an hour of cardio every single day. And you had me cut out water and cut out salt. Of course I was holding water. I was like, of course I look watery. And it's so interesting because we all compared our plans And then I was telling her like, oh, I kind of want to compete again. Maybe like, I don't know. And then she like got protocols ready already for another show, like a month and a half in advance, and identical.
Woof. That's great. The thing. Like, I respect coaches who have templates, but like, it's this thing that you can't give. You can't give the same thing to everyone. Even with your templates, you still have to make modifications.
I was going to say, like, templates different.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's the giving every single person the same exact thing and like completely ignoring.
This was no longer a template. This was copy paste.
That's dumb. I've had my fair share of like experience. Well, I haven't experienced that. Good. But my clients have, or they'll like hop on the phone and they're like, oh yeah, my coach XYZ. And I was like, you're kidding. And I don't know how these coaches, like, I genuinely do not know how they sleep at night.
Yeah.
No, that they're like, oh yeah, I have this like pre-made thing, and they pay them and they're like, here.
Yeah. I mean, that was like that whole scandal a couple of years ago. We won't bring up names or anything, but it's like that whole scandal a couple of years ago where people were like freaking out because people would pay for these programs and get nothing. Or when they got it, it was literally the exact same thing for every single person. And it's just like, again, it's, we have to be smart consumers, obviously, but then there is a point where it's, you didn't know better.
Yeah. People. Yeah. They just don't know. And that's what sucks. And I think that's why we're here in the industry, and others are here in the industry, to help give the right information, correct information, fact information. But like, I swear, for every like one of us, there's like 10, 20 of them.
1,000%.
That's what's scary, because I'm like, if I didn't know any better, I'd refall into this trap. Like,
yeah. Well, and also we had this conversation, I think yesterday, where we were like, it sucks too, because those people get so much attention online because they're feeding into the fact that as human beings, we want absolutes.
Did you know that misinformation, or just misinformation in general, spreads 6 times faster than truth because it's novel? There's actually a study over it. Yep. There's a full observational study regarding social media and the spreading of misinformation. And misinformation literally spreads 6 times faster because it's novel, it's new.
Yeah.
It also causes stirrup and controversy. Mm-hmm. And it gets engagement. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
I was just going to say, the truth just doesn't sound novel. Like,
yeah, it's not sexy.
No, it's not.
It's the hardest thing for us to communicate to people, because people want the really challenging David Goggins style, like heart-wrenching workout.
Yeah.
When it's like, hey, actually the best thing for you is probably like not that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, can you just go for a walk today? Yeah. Like, can we at least get that? Yeah, so it's like, it's so hard to be in this space sometimes for that exact reason, because like the stuff we say just isn't sexy.
Right. And at the end of the day, but what, you know, we are trying to create autonomy too. Like, you're definitely the same way. I know you are. Like, we want our clients to sit there and walk away and not needing us anymore. That's always the goal. And sometimes that, like most of the time, that takes very slow, sustainable baby step habits to be implemented into their lifestyle to where it now becomes a norm. I have clients come to me all the time. I'm going to call some of my clients out. So if they, not my name, but if they hear this,
they're like, oh no.
I have clients that are like, Brina, like, why did my waist only drop an inch in like 4 weeks? Or they're like, why did my weight not change? And then like, they completely disregard the fact that they look way leaner and they're way stronger. Their mental health is way better, and they're eating way more. And I'm like, look, I was like, here's what I'm going to remind you of. You know, we're not here to make quick fixes. Cause if we did, cool, you'd love your progress. But what happens the second you come off the program? You're gonna bounce back. And then guess what? You're going to have to come back to me, and you're going to have to be like, yeah, Brina, I couldn't sustain this. Yeah. Well, no shit.
Or like, even worse, they're going to blame you.
Yes. You know, that's happened to me before too. And I, at that point, you can't convince your clients who are so deep in a toxic mindset to unlearn things and relearn things.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are adaptable and who want to know the why and the how, the ones who need to understand that too, and will also want to understand that, they'll get it eventually. And eventually that mindset will just shift ever so slightly. Like, I've had clients who've been with me for several months and like just like looking at, let's say, their check-ins from mm-hmm. month one and two versus month 8 or 9, mm-hmm. like the mindset shift is just so different.
Yeah.
It's so different. And they made great progress too. But like, what's so important is those non-scale victories.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're, let's say they're a little leaner. Cool. Like that's a scale victory. Let's say they lost 10 pounds. Cool. Scale victory. But it's like their whole mentality has shifted. Like I had this one girl mm-hmm. was like, oh my God, this is like the first year that I've never had anxiety around food, like around the holidays. I'm like,
oh, I love great. That.
Because literally last year we were in a completely different spot and there was a yeah. lot of talking. There was a lot of talking through mindsets and breaking yeah. it down and asking questions. And like now it's completely different. So like,
yeah,
that's what's most important. That's very fulfilling also as a coach to like see clients.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's always the hardest conversation to have. And like, that's one of the things that we like prep people for before they come to us is right. like, or before, like, that's why we're always like, you're required to get a phone call. You can't just sign up to work with us. Like right. we're not going to be a good fit with everybody. And yeah. It's the hardest conversation because we'll always take people through. We have like a 3-step process and like our first okay. one's called surviving to thriving. And because uh-huh. we're taking so many people from survival mode mm-hmm. to go into how to actually properly fuel their body, overcoming their self-sabotage tendencies, mending their relationship with food and themselves. And it's like, we're doing so much inner work because you need it. And it's like yeah. the only thing. And the worst part is we're always like, right now, you don't get to even think about weight loss. If it right. happens, cool. But you haven't earned the right to diet yet.
Right.
And it's hardest conversation, but it's once you can like accept it and like get on board with that, my gosh, is it like life-changing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big trust the process moment.
For sure.
That like have learned these toxic traits from social media and think
oh my gosh, yeah.
that whatever exercise and dieting and nutrition, whatever is all mm-hmm. one thing when it's really not.
Yeah.
You know, something else. So.
Yeah. What's interesting about you, it's obviously, I'm going to say you're young because I'm older because you're 25. Oh, yeah. I'm 29. I'm about to be 30. What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying, I forget that we're
such a big age gap, especially because everyone thinks I'm like 22, 23. And I was like, I'll take it, guys. I'll take it.
It's because you look great. That's why.
Oh, thanks. It's also because I'm significantly shorter than you. And I think plays a role in age.
If anyone like, listens to this and like sees us together in a photo, it's like 5'11" and a half. And then like what? 5'2". Yeah.
5'2". Like, I'm short. I'm 5' guys. it's fine. Sorry. I was like, yeah, I'm so close to the mic just now. But you're very young, which is great because I think it's really fascinating how you've found your passion at such a young age, but also at the same time, you are pursuing other things. Right. You have like a million and one things that you do, which I very much applaud, but also at the same time, I'm like, I could never, I love to focus on like one or two things at a time.
Right. Right.
So you have a supplement company.
Right. I do. Yes.
Vanguard That's supplements.
Great. Yes. New territory for me.
Yes. When did it launch?
It launched not this year, but the last year in 2022 in December. So
so it's a year old.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It has been a year. Wait, what's today? December 20. Okay. It's about a year and like 10 days old, 15 days.
Yes. Oh, that's so exciting.
Our subs just had its first like birthday. If that makes
that's
sense.
So exciting. First of all, congratulations yeah. on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so I know you're like working on expanding that.
Right.
So what has that, how have you found kind of pairing that in, because obviously like the gym and everything else is so important to you and like being active is, how have you found like running a second business now with yeah. everything else?
Well, one thing I really learned just in the past, I would say 2 years on mm. scaling things is making sure that I hire people that I trust to do like tasks that seem like busy work to me. Not that it's busy work, but like it takes a lot of like brain capacity, I will say.
Yeah.
So I work with Megan. Megan's my marketing manager.
Yeah.
Like that's something that I needed to really do mm-hmm. to help scale, but I didn't have the brain capacity to create TikTok content.
Yeah.
To keep up with my platforms. Which is only 2. And then, you know, having to worry about Vanguard supplements in that way, So like she's there and bounces ideas off of me, and she's like, all you got to do is show up. And I'm like, okay. So like she keeps me accountable in that aspect. And then I have a business strategist who again helps me plan out content, is like looking at things from a third party perspective, is helping me on like new endeavors. Like, okay, Sabrina, you can go here, you can go here, you can go here. So like, I really find that hiring people and like having people like in my corner and for business is very, very helpful. So I'm not stuck doing every single thing. Cause I guarantee if you made me all do it, like I'd have a breakdown, I'd burn out.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I also, I love that you practice what you preach. Like, I love the fact that you're like, I'm hiring other people to help guide me. Cause it's like, that's also another really interesting conversation, obviously, with like potential clients of like, well, why would I hire you if like all this information's online? But it's like, well, I mean, it helps you kind of expedite the process.
It's also condensed, right? Yeah. It's like condensed. Like if you hire the right person, they're going to teach you the why and the how in a form that's easy for you to understand. And then they're going to take everything, sift it all out, and then like streamline all the right stuff to you. That's what I really love about hiring people. So yeah, they like, it's even if you just need a second set of eyes,
yeah,
you just need someone to kind of help you accountable. In that aspect, it's always great to hire other people. So yeah, that's what I've been doing for Vanguard Supplements on like scaling right now. It's just continuing to implement that because with Megan, as the marketing manager, it's only been a few months there.
Yeah.
Cause I want to see how much I could do just with like me organically, like you know, talking about it, etc. But I also don't want to be like super salesy. Like I'm so against like shoving my product in people's faces. Yeah. And I've been told like, no, like Brina, like it's different because it's your product. You created it. It's something that you're very clearly passionate about. But I like, I always feel weird being like, yeah, here it is. Here it is. You know? So, but having Megan to help market on like Instagram organically, that's very helpful.
So, you have pre-workout and creatine with vitamin D.
So it's a stimulated pre-workout. One formula, three different flavors. I have a non-stim formula that is of my bestseller Mangonada, and then I have a creatine with added mineral and vitamin of D3 or magnesium, glycinate, and D3 respectively in that order. All clinically dosed, which by the way, the reason why I did that is, and I've never seen anyone do this before, is because Americans are most deficient in the vitamin and mineral D3 and magnesium. So with that being said, a lot of gym rats take creatine. Why not just shove it in the creatine already? I mean, it's like a 3-in-1 supplement, I think is great. And then if people don't get like enough K2, I tell them like, hey, supplement the creatine without D3 and magnesium with K2 to help transport the D3 properly. And then like, you have now optimized that. But like, I like now three supplements have become one with the creatine. And then with the non-stim, for example, there's added electrolytes in there. So like, I don't have to take electrolytes anymore.
Oh, before. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So the non-stim.
Just in the non-stim?
So yeah, because we're revamping. Now there is like salt and sodium in the stimulated pre-workout, but like that was version one of the formula. Like I'm always constantly trying to improve the formulas.
Yeah.
One thing I really want to do for version two of the stimulated formula is get a little bit better with the focus ingredients, dump the stim down just a teeny bit, just a bit.
Cause it's 400 milligrams.
For a full scoop, it's 400 milligrams, but it's 200 anhydrous and 200 dimalate. So quick release.
Oh, okay.
And then slow release. So you don't have the crash. That is for people who are very hardcore and
want to say.
Yeah. That's not me. It's also not a lot of people. So yeah, that's why you have a half scoop. Where you're the half scoop, you're still getting really good dosages.
Yeah.
But you're not getting as much stim. And then, you know, you could still work off of a half scoop. Like I work off of a half scoop of my own stimulated pre-workout.
Yeah.
I don't even take a full scoop because I like drinking coffee throughout the day. So
Yes, you do.
Yeah. But there's some people who want like a full high.
Yeah.
Full, like
that used to be me back when I was a gym bro.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
That was me too. But that's why I created two dosages because the audience is so wide. And then what I really wanted to do was really bring my Latin culture into it because I'm Venezuelan. So like that's why the Mangonada is like was the coolest flavor I feel like I've ever come up with. The pineapples there. And then the new one, hibiscus guava lemonade, which mimics a Jamaica or guanabana, which is like a type of drink, like an agua fresca in our countries. So that's like, that's the third flavor. And then again, there's on stem. So, but yeah, there's no electrolytes or there's not a heavy dosage of it in the stimulated one, back to that, because I'm still improving the formula. Cause I'm the one, it's me and my business partner. We created together. Like, this isn't like a, oh yeah, we go to a manufacturer and pick out a formula. Like it takes a lot of work to create it. It took a year in the making for that, like the first formula.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know, stim means caffeinated. I remember like when my ex was like very into like supplements and everything, I was like, why does everyone say stim? And I was like, what does that mean? So just for anyone who doesn't know, that also means caffeinated.
Yeah. Non-stim is no caffeine.
And then I'm curious, like what made you decide to even start it in the first place?
So I needed somewhere else to branch off. I'm a businesswoman at heart, like aside from like being a fitness coach. I just love business. Like I love starting businesses and I wanted another passion project besides coaching. Cause I already like scaled coaching and TikTok. And I was like, okay, what do I do next? Like I'm always looking to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Too. And so my best friend that I knew in middle school where we kind of drifted apart and then we drifted back together. He came to me and was like, hey, like I have a business idea, but he didn't have the capital. And I did. He's like, I know you got the capital. Why don't we work some numbers together? I know this is like, you wanted somewhere else to go and talk about this. I was like, well, before I put a ton of capital down, let's speak about it. So we did and it all worked out. The numbers worked out. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So we did it. And like, it's going very well for only the first year of business. Like I'm not going to shoot out numbers, but it's doing very well and definitely better than I expected. So I can't wait to see where it goes in the next few years. Definitely have come across a lot of challenges. That's for sure. Like the supplement
industry is that
scary to me. It's it's like something I wasn't as educated on a few years ago. And I was like, I don't mind. It's going to take me a lot of work to like learn about the stuff and like truly like get to know this industry. But like, it's also a hard industry to step into because it's also full of bullshit. And it's not as saturated as the fitness industry. And so like, there's so many misconceptions about supplements in general. And like, we're getting better, like as
a society,
and like the supplement industry is very new, but it's always progressing and there's new advancements and new rules and regulations that slowly come into play, et cetera. But it's still a very like touchy industry. Yeah. And that scared me for a while. Like this is definitely the scariest like business move that I've ever made. Cause I'm like, it's just throwing around what ifs in my head. But
that's understandable.
I find that helping or what helps is definitely talking to people who have been in the industry for years.
That makes sense.
In fact, one of the guys that I talk to on a regular basis, owns a company, has been in it for several decades actually. And how I found him and how we started like speaking and how I got advice from him was he literally called me out like publicly. And I was like, oh, like, cause I never get called out. I've only ever gotten called out twice. And it was a simple mistake and it wasn't that big deal, but it is a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Because I care about the words I say. And people could technically say that it was arguing semantics. But what I did, I said something that I had a certification label on my product that said FDA approved. Now it was my mistake to say that the supplement was FDA approved. That's not the case.
Yeah.
The ingredients can be approved by the FDA. However, the supplement itself and the formulation can't.
Yeah.
And like, it was like, I was never like aggressive with him when he called me out. I was like, hey, help me understand. And like, I actually follow him now. And like, I go to him for advice all the time, but like, it's like, you know, so I just had to fix my wording. It was like literally that simple, but like, I'm glad that I have like other people that I can look up to because like this industry, the supplement industry is very new to me. And although I do know quite a bit more than other people, I am definitely not as knowledgeable as people who've been in this for decades. So I'm learning every day. Like I'm learning about purity testing and third-party testing next and like how ludicrously expensive that is.
Yeah.
Just all these new things about supplements in general, what this ingredient can do with this one, like how they mix together, like, et cetera. So
before we get like too deep into it, Because yeah. I know, obviously, like, again, like, we usually talk to, like, Gen Pop. And so I think one of the interesting things is obviously the fact that there's a big push for people to take supplements, usually from people who have some sort of financial gain from it. And so I'm curious, like, for people who are maybe listening to this, like, oh, do I have to take supplements? Obviously, I understand why you made the supplements you made. But so for them, like, would you say?
I never tell people they need my supplements. I don't even push it on my clients. It's literally there if they want it. Like, I'll send out a free bottle as part of the program. Mm-hmm. And that's like, great. So they can try it just because like, I want them to try it out. I'm passionate about it. But like, a supplement is just that, supplementary. It's an addition. It's an enhancement. Yeah. So I've never, ever been the one to sit there and be like, yeah, you need my supplements.
Yeah.
If you want to use it as a tool, you can. But like, that's the cool thing about this like business of mine is like, I understand the fact that like, I will cater to a specific audience and most people won't freaking need it. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I've literally done videos where I'm like, talk about something for pre-workout, like whatever. I debunked the whole honey and salt trend, like on your hand, like that was weird anyway. And I was like, hey, honey and salt still works in correct dosages for pre-workout nutrition, but it is not the same as pre-workout. But on top of that, comparing the two, you don't actually need this.
Yeah.
I put my product, I was like, I'm going to use my product as like reference. You don't actually need it.
Yeah.
But it's there if you want to utilize the tools, because in a properly dosed pre-workout, you have ingredients for pump, focus, like energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the same as pre-workout nutrition, honey, salt, whatever.
Yeah.
But again, not needed. So that's what I just keep repeating to like everyone online or my audience, like you don't really need it, but it's there if you want it. I use it. I've also created it. So that's why I use it.
That's fair. I wanted to, obviously I kind of knew where you were going to go, but I wanted to kind of like get your own take on it. Cause I think that it's always important to remind people of that, because like, even obviously I work with like an opposing supplement company, Legion. And like, one of the things that they say blatantly on their like whole thing is supplements supplement your lifestyle and training. And I think that's so important. And that's one of the reasons I value them. And it's one of the reasons I value you, obviously, because it's like, it's so important to put out the correct messaging. I do want to take a slight turn, because I have a question, because I think it's going to be interesting.
Sure.
Because you are such a strong, like, from getting to know you and like having the opportunity to get to know you on like a more personal level, you are such a strong and confident and caring human being. I'm so curious how that has, in a sense, like transpired, especially from, I'm kind of taking a big step back here, but especially from like the bullying.
I'm trying to think of how I would even word this. I'm sorry, repeat your question in a different wording.
It's kind of like, how do you feel like you've grown into being such a confident human being?
I think developing my own like sense of self was definitely helpful. Like, I mean, I went through my fair share of like, okay, I was bullied and like, now I have to address all these root causes, like my mental health. Mm-hmm. I need to improve myself in like in all aspects of my life. And at first it was for reasons to like prove those people wrong and like like F you or whatever, but like I realize now as I get older, obviously, and now having been years into it, that it's for myself. And then like it's like the confidence definitely is a byproduct of like what I do for myself. For sure. I'm trying to think of how else I can like,
well, I'm curious, like, what have you done to like work on yourself?
Oh yeah, so let's see. I don't do journaling as much, but I meditate. That's like a big thing that I do. I definitely like to take into account self-care, whether it's something as simple as like going to get myself a latte somewhere or like getting my nails done, which I just did today, or getting my car washed or whatever. Or like dressing up. I like to express like who I am as a person through my fashion. You know that.
Yes.
Like little stuff like that is like a form of self-care to me. And I used to be this like workaholic of a person that it was like crippling at one point. So like, I've really found that like planning time for myself and pouring into myself has really helped kind of be able to like develop myself as a person. And then additionally, like pour into other people, because I always say you can't truly love other people until you love yourself. So
I love that. And I think that's great, because I think it's such an important reminder to people, because a lot of times people think that self-care is very selfish, or they think that they're doing something wrong by doing it. When in actuality, it's part of what gives you the confidence to then continue to show up in a very strong and thoughtful way.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I found that, you know, and fitness kind of plays a role into that, and staying consistent in something will definitely help, I feel, people's self-confidence. It's definitely something that I've used fitness for, to help my self-confidence. Again, the self-love and the doing things for yourself. Go ahead. I know you're going to ask a question.
No, I was kind of pondering a question, because it's funny, because I obviously don't want to go like overly personal on anything, but it's like, I know like we've obviously had our own conversations around like relationships and like kind of what that dynamic is. And I know we share similar struggles in relationships, being very type A, very confident. I'm going to use that word instead of anything else. I'm feeling very confident women. But so the reason I bring this up is because like, I also know a lot of people who follow me or also like listen to this podcast, like find similar things, or they've found themselves in situations where they've like questioned their worth, or they've made mistakes, because obviously we're human beings. Like I think that's the first and the foremost thing is like, we're human beings. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have moments that we're not super proud of or anything like that. But how have you found it to navigate? And again, like you don't have to go super personal on this realm, in like what your situation actually is, but it's like, how have you found that in navigating relationships?
Oh God. So one thing I've really had to learn, especially like the past, I'd say 2 to 3 years, especially with relationships, because like I'm still 25, I'm still young, and I've only had two serious relationships that were long, like very long term.
Yeah.
And then again, like a few like spurts of like talking to people here and there.
The
thing I've noticed is that you have to find someone who like understands your level of confidence and whatnot. And you, you almost have to find, it's finding people who are like you said, assured. I love that word, assured and confident in themselves. So they can be, you can be two individuals who like come together versus like two individuals come together to butt heads, or like one takes over the other. And like, you know, there's this weird dynamic there. I was trying to take that tangent and go into the question, but you need to like repeat your question again, because I like lost my
No, you're so good. You're so good. And it like, even if I ask questions, I don't expect you to like necessarily have to answer it perfectly. I was kind of just asking like, how have you found it? Actually, I'm going to kind of rephrase the question, so I'm going to kind of throw a curveball at you again. Sure. But it's like, what are some of the challenges you found with it?
With relation?
With how, I guess like how, when it comes to being so confident and it comes to being so assured, that in relationships, how have you kind of navigated that to allow for you to shine through, but then also room, because you're also such a caring and generous human being that like, you also are very like, I'm going to hype up other people. I'm going to make sure that they feel seen. And so like, how have you just like navigated the kind of the balance of the two?
How have I navigated the balance?
Or like, what lessons have you learned about it, I guess?
I guess just going back to the, me repeating the fact that like, you have to find someone who understands you.
Yeah.
Being 25 and God, this is going to sound pretentious. Being 25 at the level that I'm at with the businesses I have and where I'm at, I'm working in like business with like people who are, much older, who have more experience. So like, not that it's unheard of, because I know other people in their 20s, early 30s who are doing so, so well. Mm-hmm. And I love that for them. But like, you know, people like someone who's a woman and 25 and like a minority doing all these things with business and whatever else, I like, it's so hard to find other people who are kind of like established in that way, because it teaches you how to mature quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I feel that, yes, I'm a 25-year-old in a 25-year-old's body, but I feel like mentally I'm a little bit more further along than a 25-year-old, if that makes sense. So One thing that I've turned myself onto was dating higher. If I have to put that into my life, we had this talk the other day where, it's just, I've noticed that dating higher in the age range is mm-hmm. maybe not so bad, because that's where the maturity kind of like lies mm-hmm. and stuff. And I found that quite a bit of people, my age maybe aren't quite there yet. And so when it comes to like relationships specifically, it's important for me to find someone who's established within themselves and has that self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And again, like, has the full potential to love themselves so they can love someone like me. Because I have a very bold personality. I'm like, very multifaceted in different things. Like I like mm-hmm. to do a lot of stuff and relationships. I've like, people have felt the need to like dim my light to make their shine harder, when at the end of the day, like, it's not a competition. Like, I don't mm-hmm. care if I make more than you. I don't care if you make more than me. Like, mm-hmm. I think what matters is two people coming together to really thrive together mm-hmm. and like be a power couple. And I want to be that. And as a woman, from my experience, it's very hard to find men who, can look past the fact that like, oh, like she's 25 and established and like very alpha personality.
Yeah.
And not feel like
intimidated
or intimidated by it. Yeah. But again, it just really comes down to self-confidence. So at the end of the day, I don't think those men don't exist.
Yeah.
They're definitely there. But that's what I've kind of like learned from past experiences, is just to, again, find someone who understands and who could be like a little cheerleader in that way, but like also like do stuff for themselves too. Like, so we could just be two great people come together.
Yeah. I love that. And I also want to like tie that into how you are as even just like a friend too, is like, it's very apparent of how you are as like a human being. Like, that's just who you are. You're very much like the cheerleader. I believe in you. Like, I remember that was one of the first things that I like remember you saying, is like, when people would like kind of talk about things that they were like hoping to achieve, you're like, you're going to do that. And you like say it in such a confident way. And I was like, yes, this is a gal I want in my corner. I'm like, she is like, because we've said it before, we have very similar like things that we appreciate in people, in both right. friendships and relationships, in the sense of like, we want a hype man. We want, like, in the sense of friends too.
Right.
And it's hard to find that sometimes, because sometimes it feels like it's a competition. Mm-hmm. And this is the interesting thing, is because obviously we're both fitness coaches and we're both in the fitness space and we do similar things, but it's not the same.
No.
And it's so interesting, because I know even when I first started, I got so many questions from people who are like, oh, like, how do you navigate like people who are in the same space as you? And I'm like, why does it matter? Like, there's room for everybody.
Yeah, no, there is. And I think the people, especially like talking just about fitness coaches specifically, the fitness mm-hmm. coaches that are very assured and confident in themselves and know what they have to offer is unique.
Yep.
Like me, like I'm Beefcake Rena. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, I'm Beefcake Rena.
Like, she's on this rampage right now of Beefcake. Yeah.
I have this saying that goes, I'm Beefcake Rena, bitch. Like, that's
her, that's like confidence. Right. Yeah. Like, so, like, praise to herself.
I don't know how else to describe it. Like, that's just like the mindset that I have towards like my uniqueness as a person.
Yeah.
And I really like to see that from other coaches, because at the end of the day, like, who, like, you know, it's not a competition. Like, the industry is like saturated, but if you have your own unique you, like, people are gonna resonate with you and gravitate towards you. And like, that's like the law of attraction right there. Like,
for sure.
I view like getting clients. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way and be like cold calling you and cold DMing you and be like, do you need a coach? Do you need a coach? It looks like you need a coach. Like, because I've seen that before. I'm like, why don't I just be me, my authentic self?
Mm-hmm.
Give people value as well with the education, etc., and just like show who Beefcake Brina is as a person. Mm-hmm. And then like the right people will come and they'll resonate, and like, that's that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's I think everyone has that. I know some people are trying to find that, but like, once you really find you and you're confident who you are and you can bring, you know, just some you as a personality to the table, which that's what I really like about TikTok. TikTok was actually my first opportunity years ago to be able to be my authentic self without boundaries.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because Instagram was always so curated. Remember, like the
all the edited photos
and influencers, and like I listened to, like, super pretty, had a lot of money.
Yeah,
this and that. Like
that was the hype in like 20 up until like probably 2019, maybe 2020.
Right, right. And like I like TikTok, but I don't like TikTok. But the one thing I really liked about TikTok was it allowed a lot of people the opportunity who are just regular everyday people to like shine their own light of like personality and uniqueness and the authenticity. So when I like blew up on social media, on TikTok especially, I was like, oh my God, like people like who I am. Like that's so weird because I've been bullied all my life and like I have been told the opposite. And like here I am with over 500,000 followers and still a growing platform, you know, closing up in on a million. Like here I am. And like all these people are like resonating. And like, that to me is crazy, but so great because it's allowed me to like help build a community of other people. And like, even like meet someone like you and like Megan, like different other people in the space too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, so yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah.
No, I love that for you. And I love the fact that like, it's kind of helped you find your footing in a sense. And it's helped you find, it's honestly sounds like it almost helped you find your confidence in a sense too.
Some of that helped. Yeah. I would say it's like confidence didn't just start with the TikTok, but that was definitely a big factor.
Yeah.
That was realizing that like, okay, I'm allowed to be my authentic self
here on
this platform or just anywhere. Like that's okay. And like people actually resonate with it. And like, I was like, okay, you know, let's do this. So
yeah,
we did it.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I know we have to like start wrapping up. So I was curious, do you have anything exciting coming up?
Ooh,
this is going to be going out in like mid end of January. So I know there's other stuff that you have going on that I think.
Oh yeah. I have something. Yes. So I haven't really publicized this, but I will publicize it here. That's fine.
Hey.
I'll make official announcements. But you heard it here.
I can strategically
launch
this. So then that way it works with your timeline.
Beefcake Brina, like my personality, not only am I going to be trademarking that, but on top of that, it's going to be, I'm going to become a DJ. So outside of like, there's things I obviously don't share with social media just because like very hyper niche. Instagram is definitely more of my life, but like, I love music. I love house music and I have some friends in the music industry and I've recently found out that I have an ear and a talent for DJing. So I was like, I'm going to be producing and DJing. And I have a trip up in LA for 2 weeks at the end of January into February to make connections, establish myself. I actually just got verified on a bunch of platforms.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah. So never ever did I think I'd become a DJ, but DJ Beefcake Brina is literally going to become.
Is it going to be DJ Beefcake Brina or is it going to be DJ Beefcake?
No, it's just me Beefcake. Well, yeah, DJ Beefcake Brina. Yeah.
Beefcake Brina. Okay.
Beefcake Brina, like that's still the name and it's synonymous to like the fitness stuff, but like Beefcake Brina is like the whole package.
There we go.
So like DJing is going to be a part of that and I cannot wait.
The only person I'll stay up for and go into a club for.
Oh my God, I appreciate that. It's okay. I'll get you on my guest list and you'll be
I'm like, I will be behind the DJ booth and I will be like, I am not in my element right now, guys. I would rather be in bed, but it's okay.
That's okay. But yeah, I really love house music and what better way than to get into not just Latin house, other house genres too, but I was thinking of like really hyper fixating on Latin house music because A, I'm Latin. B, Latin house, period. It's a great uprising genre. And on top of that, being a woman in the DJ industry is not that it's unheard of, but there aren't as many of us. And so I would love to come in and like be a part of that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So
super exciting. So before we wrap up, what piece of advice or wisdom would you like to share with our audience on their journey to a thriving fitness, health, and mindset?
Oh yeah. So just like F what everybody else thinks of you or whatever, like how I have that saying for myself, like I'm being free to bitch. Like I want everyone to think of that for like, for them too. Mm-hmm. Don't conform yourself into a small box that society deems you or to put you in. Allowed to shine your light as bright as you want and in whatever way you want. So that's probably the advice I have for everyone else and my younger self. So yeah.
I love that. I love it so much. My like toxic trait is I'm always like, why do we listen to societal norms? And I'm like, it's a social construct.
Yeah. Break the social construct. Break the ceiling. Break out of it. All of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that so much. And then of course, as I know we've said it a couple of times, but where can everybody find you? Obviously links will be down below.
Yes, of course. You can find me on Instagram @beefcake_Brina. You can also find me on TikTok @beefcake_Brina. If you're interested in the debunking of fitness, that's where like all that really happens is TikTok. Instagram's more my life. You can do both, whatever. And then @VanguardSupplements on Instagram, vanguardsupplements.com, as well as my website for the supplements. And that's about it. I'll have more links later when I become a DJ.
Well, we'll make sure to link all that down below if like when that happens.
Absolutely.
But then for everyone else, first of all, thank you again for coming on. Yeah, but sure. For everybody else, as always, don't be a dick, especially to yourself. And I'll see you in the next one.